I was thinking of a story, and we kind of finished last week's message on the soul, kind of talking a little just at the very end just about the wounds in our soul that we accumulate, and just kind of touched on that just a little bit. I was thinking of a story last night, an event that happened in my life, and it just warms my heart. I don't know how our memory works and why it works the way that it does, and you can forget things that just seem like they would be really important, like an anniversary or something or whatever. I mean, nobody would ever do that, but other things just get lodged in your memory. And I've got a event that happened, and it was just not a big deal, but it planted into my heart and into my mind and into my memory. And so, anyone ever hung drywall before? Has anyone ever put a screw in before? Okay. Well, we usually use the gold screws, and because the black screws, they're brittle, and those are the ones that are supposed to go in drywall, but they snap off, and they're not so good. And what I did not know is you get slivers from those stupid screws. Has anyone ever gotten a metal sliver from a black sheetrock screw? Two of you. Okay, you guys know my pain then. Anyone ever had a sliver that you didn't know about in your finger, and then you grab something just right, and it communicated to you that it was there? Well, I didn't know this. So I had been putting black screws in all day long. And I don't know if any of you guys remember Cy and Carol Peters or Tim Peters. Well, I was buddies with Tim Peters, and this is way before we were married. Not Tim and I, but Marnie and I were married. Tim and I were buddies. And so I would go to his house once in a while. And so I was over at his house after work, and I don't remember where we were even working at, and didn't realize it, but had all my fingers were filled up with little black slivers. And there had to have been hundreds of them. And so I had never really looked, and I kept hurting, and I kept grabbing. You know, they're really small. I mean, they're really small. Then they go straight in. And so I'm like, whoa, what are all these things? It was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And so I was at Cy and Carol's house, and so just loved Carol, just a beautiful woman of God and just tender and compassionate. And so here I am. I'm probably, I don't know, 23, 24 in my construction clothes. And as a good mama would, she's like, come here, what's going on? I said, what's going on? I said, well, I got all these slivers in my finger. And she's like, oh. So she goes and grabs her sewing kit, pulls some needles out of there. She's like, come here, just give me your hand. So I lay down, it's like we're in the basement in Cy and Carol's house, and Tim is sitting there, and he's like, what is going on here? What are you doing with my mom? So she puts a pillow on her lap. I lay down on the couch, and I kid you not, for the next couple hours, she's got her magnifying glasses on, and she's digging slivers out of my finger, and we're just having this beautiful conversation. And I was just that, and I think about that every once in a while. And I felt so loved and so taken care of. And this mama is just picking these, and they got a little tweezer, just pulling out. Oh, they got another one. And they're just my fingers were pretty raw when we got done, because there was probably hundreds of them, but you know, dozens and dozens of them for sure. And just digging all these little steel slivers out of my fingertips. And I thought that was so wonderful. And I was thinking about the message today, and I was thinking about our soul, our nefesh, right? The Hebrew word for soul. Thinking about our nefesh. And a lot of times in our life, and no one's exempt from this, so all of us, we go through life, and life happens. And all of a sudden, our soul gets filled up with little steel slivers, little wounds, little things that have, someone says something just really hurtful to us out of the blue, and it catches us off guard, right? And just, it's a cruel world, that's all right. And a lot of times we can just get past that, but sometimes it gets in us and we internalize it and it becomes a part of us. Or something traumatic happens, you know, just a relationship is falling apart, or someone passes away suddenly, or even not suddenly, and we just really grieve the loss of that, and grieving is normal and natural, but sometimes those wounds get just really deep in our soul, and it really starts to affect us. And so my message today is just this message of hope that God is like Carol Peters, right? And you didn't even realize that you had a handful of steel slivers, and God's like, come here, just lay down. We're going to start digging those out. And God wants to heal your soul, because what happens is those wounds, we don't even often realize that they're in there, but they become a part of us. And then it starts to affect our identity because it becomes part of our identity. And then that starts to shape and color everything else. One of the ways you can tell, this was not even in the notes. We're not going to be super diagnostic today, but just, I know a lot of this soul thing just because I don't understand a lot. Like, I'm learning along with you, so I'm just trying to stay a couple steps ahead of you guys. And it's just been fascinating for me. So I can't just really be methodical and be super diagnostic with this, and here's what you need to look for, and here's how we're going to fix it. This isn't kind of one of those series. It's more of an awareness. But I think just a really, if we're just going to talk about, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? You guys ever have any kind of subject in your life or any kind of, you got, here's what we'll call them, trigger words? You guys, someone will say a phrase and you just instantly, you're just super reactive. Yeah? Anyone relate to that? And here's how you know you have a wound in your soul. Your soul is festering. It's full of pus, right? Not to be gross, but right. You're in your soul full of festering wounds that you probably didn't even know were there. Often they'll say something, and it can be someone you love. It can be a stranger. You have no idea what their motives and intentions were, but they'll say something, some subject or something about something. You just react right away, and often it catches you off guard. And you're like, geez, I wonder where that came from, right? And they're saying the same thing. And your spouse is saying the same thing. They're like, whoa, like they were just asking a question. That's one way. There's lots of different ways, but that's one way we can know that there's a wound in there that needs to get healed up. If you cannot get it out of your head, right? If it just is stuck there and you can't shake it, that's saying, hey, I'm festering in here. I'm wounded, and I need to be dealt with. And we're so grateful today that we're gonna talk about Jesus loves to deal with that and heal up things in our soul. So, are you grateful for Jesus at least this morning? Yeah. I think you're just even confused. You're not quite sure. I want to say, yeah, you are grateful for Jesus. Yeah. We want to be. Yes, amen. A couple quotes, and we'll read some scriptures. John Ortberg, again, we've quoted his book a lot. He says this, even though we don't talk much about the soul, except for us in our series a lot lately, he says, our language reflects this in such deep and often unconscious ways. People will say things like, I feel like my life is falling apart. Or they'll say, I just can't seem to get myself together. Or I just can't seem to get my act together. I seem to be going to pieces. Or anyone said something like this, I'm coming apart at the seams. He says, these are cries, the cries of a soul that was made to be whole. And so John is quoting this other guy. As Parker Palmer puts it, the divided life is a wounded life. And the soul keeps calling us to heal the wound. Another gal that I just ran across, Katie Souza, says this. Essentially, soul wounds are the result of sin and trauma. Anyone ever had any kind of trauma in your life? Okay. You all should raise your hands because you all have. We all have had traumatic events. We live in a fallen world and are born into sin. I was going to ask, has anyone sinned before? But I know about none of you would raise your hand. You're like, not me. This guy did, but not me. This world is a traumatic place. Even if you were born into good circumstances, and many of us were not, and you had loving parents, and many of us did not, painful events still occur and afflict our souls. We sin, and our sin opens the door for the enemy to wound and afflict us. Others sin against us. Oh, we like that one. We don't like to talk about our sin, but we like to talk about others' sin. Others sin against us knowingly and even unknowingly, causing real damage and harm to our souls. Here, let me, in case you're just getting tired of this and you're just feeling like I'm getting a little too secular because that's kind of what the world is talking about today, here's the difference between what we're talking about here today and what the world is often talking about. The world is fascinated right now with trauma, right? Naming our trigger words and all that kind of stuff. Their idea of healing it is staying in it. Our idea is recognizing it and saying, all right, this needs to be gone because I need to be whole. And the only way that that can happen is with Jesus. That's the difference. So we're maybe saying some of the same thing. You're like, wait a minute, Pastor, let's just get back to the Bible. You kind of talk about all this psychobabble stuff. A lot of us have been stuck for 20 years too because we have wounds in our soul that need to get healed up so that we can be whole and we can be fully alive in Christ. Does that make sense? So when we're talking about trauma and these soul wounds or whatever, we're not talking about naming it and giving you a cute little label so you can sit in your stink for the next 10 years, because that's not helpful to anybody. That's the secular version of doing that. Now, they would be really mad that I'm kind of like oversimplifying it to that, but that's the end result, is we don't heal up out of it. This just gets to be who I am. No, that's not who you are in Christ. We're going to recognize it, and then Jesus is going to heal stuff up. Let's go to the Word of God. It says this in Psalms 41, verse 4. I said to the Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Huh. Look at that. Right out of the Bible. Your soul needs healing, probably in a lot of different areas. Doesn't mean that you're not functioning fine. Doesn't mean that you're not loving Jesus. Doesn't mean that you're not growing. But we can recognize areas in our life that we have reactions, that we're stuck, that we can't seem to get past, and the Lord needs to heal them up, because often it's a result of sin. See, we'll talk about that in a second. Right out of the Word of God, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Interesting that he doesn't just say, forgive me. And interesting that he doesn't just say, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for I've sinned against you. Which needs to happen. But part of the forgiveness is part of the healing. Has any one of you, I hope I get some more hands on this one than I did in the last one, Jim, or we're in trouble. Well, I know what our next series will be. Has anyone ever forgiven anybody else? Okay, now they're raising their hands because they don't want to get caught. Yep. I'm not going to forget. Okay, yes, Pastor. Has anyone, let me ask this, maybe less hands on this, because I don't know if you've really forgiven them. Has anyone ever felt the freedom that brings when you forgive someone? Kind of the, to your soul. You know what was happening? There was a wound in your soul, and you'd been offended, you'd been, you know, sinned against, whatever happened. When you forgave, the Lord met you at that place, and that was part of your healing. Does that make sense? That you felt, that was your soul, that was a wound in your soul getting healed up. Yeah. So some of this we know intuitively, we just have never really put this kind of language to it. And so, but sometimes we've sinned. See, here's the deal. We think a lot of times, we think we're kind of getting away with sin. Well, that's not that big a deal. That's not that big of a sin. That's whatever. But the truth is, your body keeps score. Your spirit and your body, they keep score. And when you sin, when you continually walk in sin, it starts to manifest in you. Because we're not built to live that way. We're not built to miss the mark. We're human, and we will. We will continue to. But we're walking towards not. We're walking towards perfection. We're walking towards holiness. We're walking towards the living like Jesus called us to live, and then give us his spirit to empower us to do that. So our spirit is always wanting to walk with God. Amen? Your spirit, you have a spirit, okay? Your spirit is always in communication with the Holy Spirit. And your spirit, a lot of our spirits are just really, they're the guy on the Atlas, the old 50s Atlas barbell commercials, you know? The little skinny guy at the beach, right? That's your spirit, because we're not feeding, watering, and exercising our spirit enough. So a lot of times our spirit knows what the Lord wants, knows what the Lord desires. Our spirit wants to seek the Lord. But what happens is our soul ends up being kind of the gatekeeper. So remember, we told you there's all these different parts. So your spirit is wanting to follow the Lord. You're wanting to walk in the spirit, right? And your body's wanting to have all these cravings and go do this. And your emotions are wanting to react this way. And your mind is getting stuck on these things. And your soul is trying to be the conductor, trying to get all these guys to be on the same page. But if we end up with these soul wounds, and if we ourselves keep walking in sin. We're continuing to wound our soul, and now it's coloring everything else, and it's making us, making it difficult to thrive and making it difficult to walk with the Lord. Does that make sense? We're kind of throwing all kinds of stuff out at you this morning, but Judah Smith says, where can your soul find healing and wholeness? Who is the source of ultimate fulfillment? How can you navigate this unpredictable and often painful life? The answer is God, who reveals his love and his grace towards us through Jesus. He's your hope and he's health for your soul. That's out of his How's Your Soul book. And John Ortberg again says, when we reach out to God, we're lifting our souls up to be nurtured and healed. We're saying, Carol, help me out here, right? You understand what I'm saying. God's name is not really Carol. Okay. I just wanted to make sure if you had been dozing off and you tuned in just for that section. Wait a minute. A soul centered in God always knows it has a heavenly Father who will hold its pain, its fear, its anxiety. This is spiritual life, to place the soul each moment in the presence and care of God. I've got good news for you today. Man, I just researching for this week, I keep finding things in the Word of God. I'm like, I didn't know that. Because we know, I mean, soul's in there, you know, nephesh is in there like 700 times. Soul is in your Bible, you know, depending on which version, you know, ESV probably around 300 times. There's a lot of talk about the soul. And the Bible talks about it in different ways than we actually have been trained to think about it. And so I'm going to show you that in just a second here. Because you know what? Would you be free from there's power in the blood, right? There's power in the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. And we're like, right, blood of Jesus forgives my sins. Amen. Yeah, absolutely, it does. What's your favorite book of the Bible? Book of the Bible. Like, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Any Acts? What? Oh, yeah, John. Yeah, I love those. Any other favorite? Philippians, yeah. Ephesians, yeah. Colossians. Galatians. You're just naming verse books now. I'm shocked to not be hearing more of Leviticus. So let's look at Leviticus. Leviticus is talking about all the ceremonial, and it's a law book, okay? It's a book of the law and what you need to do. And this is talking about the blood sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, right, we're in the New Testament, the new covenant, the new agreement, because Jesus died and gave us a new agreement. But prior to Jesus, there was only one agreement. There was only one covenant with, or not really true, but like one period of covenant with God. And you needed doves, rams, goats, sheep, right? Yeah, you needed to bring a sheep because you sinned so bad. You were starting to doze off on me. I thought I'd wake you up. So you literally, not figuratively, you literally took a sheep. Think about what going to church was like in the old days. You brought your sheep, you know, hoping they didn't poop along the way, right? And you brought it up to a priest, and the priest was standing out front. Not in the holy robes with a collar. I mean, he was in holy robes, but like, not, he was covered in blood. And they would, anyone ever been to or butchered pigs or anything? Or like, it's messy. And that's what was going on. And so we read this one verse in Leviticus here. Watch this. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you. God is saying this. I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. God is saying, I've given you this altar, and you're going to sacrifice upon it for atonement or buying back or making right. Or some people say, if you divide the word atonement, you divide that word up, at-one-ment, meaning we were separated from God, and now God's bringing us back together. That's kind of not quite right, but it's a way to think about the word atonement, for like paying for and being okay with. That's what it kind of means, to make restitution for your souls. So I've given you the blood upon the altar. This is Old Covenant. This is your favorite Bible book, Leviticus, right? Saying that this is for your souls. When you sin, something lodges in your soul, and you need the blood of Jesus, or you need the blood in the Old Testament to atone that, to buy that back, to cover that. Now, if you go to the New Testament, there's a book called Hebrews. Say Hebrews. Was written to the Hebrews, yes. And so it was people that would be very familiar with Leviticus, right? And so the book of Hebrews is kind of explaining, what does all that old stuff look like now in the new covenant? Because it's all different now because of Jesus. And they were struggling through that. So the book of Hebrews is to explain all of this stuff, the high priest and the order of Melchizedek and the offerings and all that kind of stuff, how Jesus was the better sacrifice, right? And so Jesus died once, say once, for all. Say all. So once for all. Say that. So Jesus died one time and then he rose to life and he paid for all sins. And what did he shed on the cross? Blood. Right? He was the final and perfect sacrifice of a system that was pointing to Jesus, but he was the ultimate sacrifice. So we go to Hebrews now. Hebrews 10:12 says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Listen to this now. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are what? Being sanctified. That sounds like churchy words. It is. And if I were to tell you, well, we need to be sanctified. Is that up at like the barbershop or what? Where does that happen? It's one of those words that we don't use in our normal language today, but it's a Bible word and it's filled with rich meaning. And it means to be, what I would normally say is to be set apart. And the Greek word, hagaizo, we're not going to spend time on that today, so I wrote it down on the next slide, but the Greek word hagaizo, it can mean holy or be sanctified. So here's what's going on. By one offering, Jesus has made perfect or perfected for all time those who are being. Say being. So there's a process. You're being. If you are something, that's one thing. If you're being something, that's a continual thing. So there's a process that's going on. Agree? Are we on the same page? You are being something. You're being, something is continually going on. There's a continual process. Jesus has initiated the process. Jesus is working in the process. And the process that's happening is sanctification. You're being sanctified. You're being set apart is what I would normally say. So I looked up this word, hakaizo, in the Greek, and you can go look it up yourself at Blue Letter Bible or at studylight.org. Those are great sites for those of us who don't read Greek, where you can go and kind of dig in a little bit deeper. And I looked up that word. And yeah, it absolutely means be separate, be holy, absolutely. But the third definition means to purify. And here's the definition. To purify, to cleanse externally, to purify by expiation. I'm sure most of you use that word in your daily conversations. To be free from guilt of sin. Or the third thing, to purify internally by renewing of the soul. Is part of the definition of the Greek word for sanctify. Now, again, don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to change scripture, but I'm going to take that definition and I'm going to put it in so that it makes us easier to understand what I'm trying to say. So we're going to read that scripture again. Look at the last part here. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being purified internally by the renewing of the soul. Holy macaroni, Batman. I know I'm a little further ahead because I spent some time studying this, but catch up to me. This is really cool stuff. The sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, we looked at the Old Testament, said you need the blood on the altar to make atonement for your souls. Jesus said, I'll do you one better. I'll do one sacrifice for all time, and it's not going to be over in an hour. Now, he's risen from the dead. The sacrifice itself is over, but the work that the blood of Christ is doing is sanctifying you. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means you're being purified internally by the renewing of your soul. Maybe you need to be a pastor to get really excited about that. I don't know. But I was like, holy cow! Like, Because you think in soul, yeah, it's just this one part of you. And I keep finding all these verses that are so rich talking about, dude, your soul needs some attention. And Jesus is the answer. And you're like, but already I'm serving Jesus. Dude, your soul still needs some attention. Have you seen your life this week? Right? Smile with me at least. Okay, your life this week was fine. Have you seen my life this week? What I struggle with, what I react to that I don't realize, whoa, what am I reacting so strongly? The thing that I can't shake, I'm stuck in this habit that's destroying my life. You got a wound in your soul, but the blood of Jesus is continually offering this internal renewing of your soul. That's exciting. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about healthy soul, healthy you. And if you act now, for 1995, healthy soul, healthy you. Let's go to Shauna's favorite books in the Bible, 3 John, verses 2 through 4, because there's only one chapter in there. And it says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that it all may go well with you, even as your," what? "Your soul is getting along well." We referenced this verse earlier. Let's just wait with that second part and let's just look at this. It says this, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health." Good health. I don't have anything going on in my body. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I'm not sick. "And all may go well with you." That's talking about the flow. Anyone ever had what you would say is a rough season in your life? Three of you. The rest of you? Man, you got some life to live. Okay? A rough kind of time. Hey, how's it going? And if we're honest, we're not honest. We're like, good. That's what we usually say. If we're honest, we're like, how much time do you got? And we'll spill our soul, right? We'll talk about how things sometimes, some seasons, just aren't going well. They're just not going. I just can't. Man, I messed up this, and I can't get them. My kids or whatever. And I know what that's like. Man, those rotten kids and whatever. So, but this says that all may go well with you. Now here's the key. Even as. Say even as. Even as. Or just as. Or as your. So the key for enjoying good health and that things going well with you is that your soul is getting along well. Your soul is doing good. A healthy soul, not because it's the most important part of you, but because of its role. Because of its role as kind of the gatekeeper and conductor of this whole you that's you, all these parts and pieces that want to go off on different directions, and your mind is stuck on this loop, and your body's wanting more cheesecake, right? And your will is saying, I'm not gonna, and then it gets stuck, and I'm gonna, and we eat more cheesecake, and I'm not gonna hate them anymore, because your will is trying to do that. Your will has this idea, and your mind is replaying all these emotions or thoughts, which creates these emotions, and you're like, no, I do still hate them, right? And you're just struggling. And your soul is just like, I'm trying to get this all together. And that's where you feel this disjointedness. You're like, this is hard. John is saying that get your soul in the presence of Jesus and get some of those little buggers, those little steel slivers in your soul. Talk to Carol, right? You need to pull some of those out so that you can reorient and say, all right. Because when, remember, it was a couple weeks ago, we said, with a healthy soul, your whole world can be caving in and you'll be just fine. With an unhealthy soul, everything can be going right and you'll be miserable. How many people, they have wealth, they have fame, they have stuff, they have friends, they have success, and everything on the outside looks perfect. And they're rotting on the inside, and they're miserable, and they end up committing suicide or something. Like, if our souls are healthy, everything else can be healthy. This is not maybe 100% true, but this is for our message today. This works. Your mind is yours, your body is yours, your emotions are your emotions, but your soul is you. It works. It works for this definition for today. Your soul is meant to be you and to get all these other parts. Like, it's your mind. You have control over what you think, and that will greatly determine what your life looks like. Your emotions, if we don't learn how to control those, are your emotions. So we better figure out how to dissipate those in a healthy way. Otherwise, we're going to get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. But your soul is you. That's you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, me. Let's get before Jesus. Let's see. 3 John 2 says, in a different version, New King James Version says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper." That's how some of us kind of learned this verse. "That you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." There's a story about Frank Laubach, and I'll just tell you about it. Dallas Willard is telling the story, so that's what I'm going to read. He says this: Frank Laubach, partly because to be noble, he had voted for the other candidate, was denied a position as president of a college in the Philippines. The Philippines, hey, it's about the Philippines today. Where he had been serving as a missionary. He lost by one vote. Okay, so now in your world, look at me for a second. In your world, okay, so some guy was going to be president, you know, of a college, right? Yeah, of a college in the Philippines. He was there as a missionary, and he was going to do the godly thing and the noble thing, and he voted for the other candidate, and he ends up losing by one vote. I mean, to you and me, that's okay, big deal. To him, it was a big deal. He was frustrated and bitter. This is a missionary. This is someone who's yielded their life to the call of God and is serving Jesus with their heart, mind, and soul, and actually not so much with their soul at this point. He was frustrated and bitter, and for 2 years, he was almost continuously ill. A biographer writes, he suffered from flu, appendicitis, paratyphoid, a strained leg muscle, an ulcerated eye, and shingles. Yay me. In a state of bitter self-pity, he hobbled around, worked inefficiently, and wore a patch over one eye much of the time. His failure to accept defeat was costing him his health. The fact that his desire to exercise Christian principles that resulted in hurting himself increased the inner tension and conflict. So he wanted to not be like this, but there's all this internal conflict. These were years of despondency and aimlessness. He was fighting the battle of his soul. Dallas goes on and says, "In fact, what we see in such a case is soul disruption manifesting itself in disorders of the body, which threaten to take over your life as a whole and could even lead to physical death. Thank God that Laubach, in time, found the spiritual key to turning all this around and bringing his body into the health of a person radiant with the presence of Christ." So all of that to say that what John is saying in 3 John, hey, I want your soul to be in a healthy spot so that it overflows to the rest of your life. If you get your soul in a healthy place, you'll start to think healthier thoughts. And you know from our series on thoughts, that's going to determine our lives, man. But we need help because our mind is just our mind, right? Your emotions are going to be better. Your finances are going to be better. Your relationships are going to be better. Your body. See, your body keeps score. It manifests these things. So you can't keep hanging on to unforgiveness and wounds and bitterness without your body saying, "I see that, and I'll raise you high blood pressure. I see that, soul, and I'll raise you," and it just keeps filling in blanks for you. He's like, "You want to keep going? Should we keep laying it on?" And it's amazing how many chronic illnesses that have been chronic and have lasted for years end up getting healed by someone getting their soul healed, and all of a sudden their body's fine. Like they finally forgive. And there's volumes of these stories. "I finally forgave that guy after 23 years. And all the pain went away in my shoulder. My gut stopped hurting. I had ulcers on my leg. They went away." Your body keeps score. And so I'm not saying that every sickness is because you've got a wounded soul, but I'm saying that what the Bible says is true, that I want you to prosper even as, or just as, or because of your soul prospering. Oh, you want more scripture? Really? Okay, here it is. "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. It may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in" what? Say truth. Now, if you're kind of new to the church world, when we say the truth, we're talking about the Word of God. God's Word is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we're talking about Christ, and we're talking about the truth of God's Word. So just as we finish up, just real quick, we're going to talk about our soul, our nefesh, and God's Word. Anyone ever heard of George Mueller? A guy by the name of George Mueller. He was a missionary, and he ended up running an orphanage. That was one of the four or five things that he wanted to do, but that ended up being kind of what he's known for. Thousands of kids ended up coming through his, but he wouldn't raise funds. From what I read, he never once asked for money. And I forget what today's equivalent of money. It was millions of dollars. Like, this was in the 1800s. And so he started this orphanage. They outgrew that, and he was going to buy some more land, but he wouldn't borrow any money for it, and God just provided, and he said, we'll pray, and God will answer. We'll pray, and God will answer. We will pray, and God will answer. He needed to get to England one time, and it was heavy fog, and the ship couldn't go, and the captain said, well, we can pray, because he knew he was a Christian guy or whatever, and George Mueller stopped him. He said, no, you have no faith. Lord, lift the fog, and the fog lifted, and they went to England. Yeah, but he wouldn't let the guy pray. He's like, you're not going to pray in unbelief. I'm like, oh, okay. There's just story after story after story after story after story. And he would just wake up and he'd say, Lord, what do we need today? And if whatever they were out of. And one day they had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids. There was nothing there. And I forget exactly how it all went. But like, how are we going to feed 500 kids today? And he said, we'll pray and God will answer. And 20 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and the dairy truck just broke down outside. We've got 400 gallons of milk, and we don't know what, you know, our fridges aren't working or whatever. And okay, we'll take it. And the bakery, where just something happened, and we need to leave town, but we've got all this bread. Can we drop it off? Like, okay. Like, stuff like that happened all the time. So much so that he got so famous just for doing that, and people knew that he didn't raise money. People knew, they had never heard him ask for money, so they figured these kids must be starving. Have you guys ever heard of a guy by the name of Charles Dickens? He wrote The Christmas Story, Tale of Two Cities, or Christmas Carol, Great Expectations, Oliver Twist. I read part of Charles Dickens' newspaper article about George Mueller today, because he said, well, they had to be abusing these kids and not feeding them. He went down there and saw that these kids were so well taken care of, it moved him so much, he went and wrote a multiple-part article on George Mueller. And it was all talking about how he prays, and he's a man of faith, and God answers. And I'm like, how come I've never heard of this before? Anyways, this quote is from George Mueller. George Mueller says, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. Remember, this is a guy that miracles are happening every single day, that it might go well with you and you might be in health, even as your soul prospers. George is saying, yeah, I figured out I needed to have my soul happy in the Lord. Not just a happy soul, but happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but the first thing I needed to be concerned about was how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. This is a guy who's seen more miracles than, hopefully this is not true, than you and I have so far, and I'm not going to say ever will because we're believing for more miracles, but this guy was just immersed in God moving in his life. And he said, if I'm going to keep the miraculous power of God flowing in my life, the first thing that I need to do every day is take my soul and plant it in the Lord and get in the Word of God and let that saturate my soul. Now, some of us don't read our Bible at all. You should. Some of us do once in a while. That's good. We should read more. Some of us do our devotions. That's great. Let's keep doing those. But what George is saying is, like, we need to be immersed in the Word of God and let it wash over our soul and meditate upon it. Get my soul into the right place. Sometimes we read, anyone ever read the Bible and you're reading just to get it done? I do all the time. I am not proud of that. George is saying, come on, man, Get your soul before the Lord and let the word of God, let his word, his truth, his living word wash over your soul, and your life will be different. Things will start to move and change. Here's some verses for you, because another couple of Bible verses. Psalm 119, 25, 28, 81 says, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." Our last verse for today. Oh, sorry. Two more verses. James, book of James, punch in the gut book. "Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word," the word that gets into your soul, "which is able to save your souls." Get the word of God in your soul. Bring your soul before God and before his word and say, "God, I don't want to just read the word today. I don't want to just memorize scripture." You should do that. "I don't want to just do devotions." You should do that. But God, I'm presenting my soul before you. Let your word correct me where I need to be corrected. Let your word encourage me where I'm despondent, where I'm downcast. Let your word strengthen me where I'm weak. Let your word inform me where I'm ignorant. Let your word do all of that in my soul. And your soul gets healthier and healthier, because then you start seeing the places that need to be fixed. This will be our last verse for the day. Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord," the word of God, "is perfect, refreshing the soul." Guys, we cannot get through life without getting trauma and wounds in our soul that needs to be attended to. We need to be aware of that. And Jesus, by his blood and by his power, will gladly fix that up for us if we're willing to submit to him and say, "All right, God, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Yeah, I can help." Right? And he will start to heal your soul. And you'll start to see changes in your life that you're like, "I didn't even try to be better." Right? You guys ever had those moments? We'll finish. We'll be done. But you ever had those moments where you're just as shocked as the next person is? You're not even yelling at people anymore. What happened to you? Hey, right, I don't even know. I've just been spending time with Jesus and in his word. Like all of a sudden, I'm just different. Or you can try harder and grunt and groan and see how that gets us. It's good to, that's based out of our will, and that helps for a little bit, but we need our soul healed up. And that's what will start happening in our life. You know what? I just knew I needed to forgive that person. Or all of a sudden, I need to love them better. I haven't been loving them. Whatever. Like, all of a sudden, you'll start to see changes. And you're like, "Where's this coming from?" It's coming from the river of life that's flowing through you. That wanted to the whole time, but kept getting stopped up by all the splinters. Amen? We're done. Amen? You were a little hesitant. I think you were a little scared. But praying that God shows us some good steps to take with this as we present our souls to the Lord and say, "God, this thing's probably a mess in here. Let's do some house cleaning. Let's help me, all these things that have accumulated, help me to heal up." And I don't want to be living out of a wounded soul. I want to be healthy. And I want to be in health and prosper and all go well with me as my soul prospers. Amen. God, I thank you for this great day. I thank you for this awesome group of people. And we pray for the blessing of God to be upon us. I pray for just wisdom from heaven that's going to help us walk out of wounds and trauma and sin and get our souls healed up so that we can fully walk with you. That little gatekeeper that soul is can be in a healthy state. We just pray for a fantastic week. Thank you for this amazing country that we get to live in. Pray blessings and prosperity on our souls and upon our health and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.